couldn't see Brother Philip make it back. I went back and I asked him, didn't he want to come and moderate services tonight? And he said he was pretty worn out and said he'd like to sit with his family. So I certainly do understand that. We're thankful that he had a safe return back with us tonight. I'd like to begin tonight with a thought that's in the 78th division of the Psalms. One verse there in particular, and then go over to a New Testament epistle of 1 Corinthians and make a connection there as well. In Psalm 78, the psalmist is recounting all of the blessings of the providence of God upon the children of Israel in the wilderness. He mentions the time that the Lord gave water from a rock. Two times that the Lord gave water from a rock. He mentions how that the Lord gave them manna. He mentions how that the Lord gave them quail. He mentions how that the Lord delivered them from Israel. And he goes through these deliverances one after another, as if to remind himself and to remind his readers about the providences of the blessings of God. You know, it would do us good to remind ourselves of the providences and the blessings of God in our life. To be able to look back and see when God has blessed us. Hasn't He blessed us countless numbers of times? Hasn't He been with us in miraculous ways? And blessed us on occasions that when we knew that our backs were against the wall, so to speak, and that there was no way out for us, and how God in His miraculous, gracious providence blessed us in a way that we couldn't fathom even. And he talks about in the 78th Psalm how that they sinned and backslid and believed not the works of God, and they stumbled in their faith, and how God was angry with them and punished them. And you know, that's the story of our lives as well, how God blesses us countless numbers of times, and then if you're like me, you can look back at times and see when you've stumbled in your faith and when you've backslid and haven't obeyed and followed the Lord quite like we should. And the Lord punished them for it. And this is the thought that I'm after in verse 35. That it says, and they remembered after these series of events and after the Lord dealt with them in a punishment type of way. It says, and they remembered that God was their rock. And the high God, their Redeemer. I'd like for us to remember tonight that God is our rock. And I'd like to go through some places in the Old Testament especially and look at some places where God blessed His people through a rock. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul is recounting some of those places. He mentions how that God gave them spiritual meat, and or he gave them blessings in the wilderness, and he's making a spiritual analogy. In verse 4 he said, and they all did drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. I want to go back in the Old Testament and just look at a handful of various stories tonight. When I say stories, I don't mean fables, like I had a college professor try to teach his class one time, that the Bible is just full of fables and stories. I don't mean stories in that kind of way. They're stories, but they're true stories, aren't they? How God blessed His people through a rock, and how that rock is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of times the Scripture paints pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And Brother Ronnie Loudermilk was over at Fellowship last weekend, and he made a beautiful point about how that, I don't remember exactly how he made it, but his point was that Christ is pictured by God all throughout the Old Testament. How that we can flip from page to page and story after story and see a picture of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly, numerous pictures of Christ throughout the Old Testament, but very seldom does the Bible ever say that that is a picture of Christ. We don't have to guess about that with this story. In Exodus chapter 17, where Moses is leading the congregation of the children of Israel journeying through the wilderness, and the Bible says there that there was no water to drink. And because there was no water to drink, the Bible says that the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" You know, these people, the children of Israel, were about the most complaining, grumbling people in all of history. We find place after place and time after time how that they were professional complainers. They were complaining on, seems like every time we turn the page, we find the children of Israel complaining. And it's very easy for us to say, shame on them for doing all that complaining. Well, you know, we ought to look in the mirror sometimes about that too. How many of us who have been blessed by the providence of God, providences of God, all of our lives, run into a little hardship and find ourselves complaining? I don't know if that's your story, but that's the story of my life. I can see countless providences and blessings of God all through my years. But you know, you let one silly 8th grader get crossways with me one day, and I'm going to find some way to complain about it. You know what we ought to do? What would behoove us well to do? Rather than complaining about our situation, is go to the One who has answered every need that we have ever had. These people complained to Moses. And Moses said, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord?" You see, Moses was saying, "Why are you arguing with me? What you're really doing is you're complaining against God." And truly speaking, when we complain, when we realize that it's God that has blessed us with everything that we have ever needed, and when we realize that it's God that has promised to continue to bless us with whatever we're going to need, when we realize that it's God that's blessing us even in this present hour, and yet when we complain, who are we really complaining about? Am I really complaining about that knot-headed 8th grader? I tell you who we're really complaining. We may not want to admit it, but what we really complain at is God. That's not my subject tonight. I want you to notice what God did for these people. The people thirsted for water, and the people murmured against Moses, and Moses took it to the Lord. You know, that's a good example for us when we have problems in this world. Where do we go? We take it to the Lord. And Moses said, "These people be ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Moses, go before the people and take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take it in thy hand and go. And behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Now that's a miraculous provision of God, isn't it? You ever hit a rock and water come out of it? That ever happened to anybody here tonight? I tell you, we read these stories and we hear them over and over. And I think with the familiarity of some of these miraculous stories, it breeds a little bit of complacency and it loses a little bit of its wow factor. Put your place in that wilderness that day, being thirsty, and the man of God hits a rock with a rod, and out from that rock comes water. And that wasn't just a little trickle or a little drip. The psalmist says that it gushed forth. And there was enough water there to water all of those people. That's a miraculous thing, isn't it? You know, God blesses us in the same way over and over and over. He may not have ever opened up a rock and gave you water, but has not God blessed you in similar ways all down through your life? This is a miracle that God opened up a rock and gave the people to drink. And the Bible says, Paul says, that rock was Christ. I believe in this story, we see a beautiful picture of the provision of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that God looked down upon a sinful people, a complaining, murmuring, faithless, unbelieving, sinful people. And He saw a need. And rather than punishing those people for their sin, He met their need in spite of their sin. That's the God that we serve tonight. You know, when God looked down from heaven, what did He see? Has God ever looked down from heaven and seen men that were following Him, or men that were walking in the way, or men that were seeking after Him? No, there are two places the Bible specifically says God looked down from heaven, and both of those places say that He saw something that was altogether filthy and unprofitable. You know who really deserved that rod that day? Were those people. God would have been just to say, "All right, Moses, I want you to line up these people and tell them to put the hands on the rock. And I want you to go by with this rod and I want you to smite these people because of their sin." That would have been just, would it not? Wouldn't God be just to smite us with the rod of His judgment because of our sin? But rather than doing that, in spite of their sin, God withheld the judgment that the people rightfully deserved and told Moses to smite a rock. And I want you to know tonight that in the Lord Jesus Christ, God withheld the judgment that we rightfully deserve. The righteous punishment of the rod of God, He withheld from us. And rather than using it on us, He smote His only Son. And in smiting that Son, we live eternally. The Apostle Paul said, that rock was Christ. That's a miracle. That's a miracle that Moses could take a wooden stick, and hit a rock, and water come forth out of it. I'll tell you a greater miracle. That the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ would lay down Himself on a wooden cross to cover our sins. And I want you to know that day that all the people of the children of Israel drank from the water from that rock. And on that day of Calvary, all of God's children were covered on that day because the rock was smitten for you and I. There's another story over in the book of Numbers where Moses, the people of Israel are again wandering in the wilderness, and they, as they are customary to do, began to complain and murmur again. And God's going to bring water from a rock again, but this time His instructions are a little bit different. And I know you know this story, but I'm going to read a verse of it. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod. By the way, I believe that the reason that God told Moses to take the rod wherewith he smote the river, why would God say, take the rod wherewith you smote the river? Well, I don't pretend to get into the mind of God, but I believe the reason he told Moses to take the rod wherewith he smote the river, I believe he was reminding Moses of the time that I blessed you with that rod. That same rod that I blessed you to smite the river, that same rod that I blessed you to put down on the ground, it became a snake and ate Pharaoh's snakes. That same rod that I blessed you to stretch out over the Red Sea and it parted. That same rod, Moses, that I blessed you with over and over and over and over again. Certainly we can look back at times where God has blessed us over and over and over again. God tells Moses again to take this rod. But he's not going to speak, he's not going to smite it this time. Take the rod. Gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak unto the rock before their eyes. And it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts to drink. Second time, God was going to bring forth water out of a rock. But this time he told Moses to speak to it rather than smite it. We know the story that Moses, in his anger, went and stood on that rock and he smote it twice. And God, because of that, told Moses that he would not enter into the promised land. But what's the miraculous thing about that to me is that in spite of Moses' disobedience in smiting the rock when God told him to speak to it, in spite of that, God blessed the people anyway. What a wonderful God we meet to worship. In spite of his disobedience. Now Moses was going to be punished because of that disobedience, but the people of God were going to be refreshed in spite of the man of God's disobedience. And I believe this about that. I still think we can see a beautiful temporal picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only was he the rock of redemption back in Exodus 17 when Moses smote the rock, here we see a beautiful picture of the rock being a rock of refreshment. You ever get thirsty? You ever get thirsty? You ever go all day and realize that you haven't drank very much water? Just talking about it makes me thirsty a little bit. You ever work all day in the field, farmers, and get thirsty and go to that cooler of water and drink that cold water, and how refreshing and satisfying that cold water is? What about spiritually, child of God? You ever get thirsty in this old world? You ever get weary? Your spiritual soul ever get a little parched living in the barrenness of this land? I'll tell you where you can find your refreshment and your satisfaction. There's no other place than the rock of Jesus Christ. Amen. We can go to that rock because it was once smitten. We can now be refreshed from it from time to time in this old sinful world. And once that rock was smitten, I want you to understand it never needed to be smited again. I'm reminded of a wonderful place over in Hebrews chapter 9 where the Lord, where the writer of Hebrews says that the Lord entered, or that Jesus Christ entered in once, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I want you to know that when the Lord Jesus Christ was smitten on the rock of on the cross of Calvary, something was obtained. Something was not given a chance. Something was not left up to opportunity.
something was obtained, and the Bible says that what was obtained when He bore the rod of God for our sins, by the way, Isaiah chapter 53 uses that same word. He was smitten for our transgressions. He was smitten for our transgressions. And when He was smitten, something was obtained. And the Bible says what was obtained was redemption, and that eternally. That's good news tonight for sinners. That in the finished work of Jesus Christ, He has obtained redemption, and that redemption is an eternal redemption that you and I will never lose. That's wonderful tonight. Why? Because He entered in once. He was smitten once. This man, it says over in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, what did He do? The Bible says He sat down. Why did He sit down? Because He was tired? No, He sat down because He was finished. One sacrifice for sins forever, and He sat down. Wherefore, as by one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. You see, that rock, once smitten, never has to be smitten again. That work was done. But now because it was smitten, you know what you and I have the blessing to do? We can go to that rock and speak. And our souls can be refreshed. And our souls can be satisfied and filled with the living water that the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ gives us. I read of another place over in Isaiah chapter 32 where it says there that a king, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Who's that man? Is that the preacher? No. That man is the man Christ Jesus. As the shadow of a great rock. What? You ever been, again, working out in the field or working out in the yard, and it's 90 degrees in the summertime, or like it has been lately, 90 degrees in the springtime, and you get hot in the summer, in the summer sun, and you step over into the shade? Does that shade take away all the heat, first of all? No, it doesn't take away all the heat. But what's the temperature difference between that brawling sun and just 4 feet over underneath the shade of that pine tree? I tell you, it feels like it's about 50 degrees cooler over there. I think that's a picture. What we read right here, the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. What's the weary land? I tell you, child of God, that's talking about this world that we live in. This world is a weary land. I remember several years ago when I was in college, I declared a music minor for one semester. And during that semester, we had to take university chorus. And one of the songs that we sang in the university chorus, the man that taught the chorus was a religious man. And we performed a song that said, "Our God," or my God is a rock in a weary land." That's a wonderful thing to know, isn't it? That in the weary land of this world, you have a place of rest. You have a place to go and rest your weary soul under the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. I'm reminded of a place over in Psalms chapter 61. Where the psalmist writes this: "Hear my cry, O Lord, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me
to the rock that is higher than I. You recognize those words? We sing a song in our songbook that talks about the rock that is higher than I. David said, when my heart is overwhelmed. What about it, child of God? Is your heart ever overwhelmed in this world? You ever gone through times when you felt overwhelmed by the troubles or the cares or the worries of life? David said, the psalmist said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. What does he mean by that? I think he's saying that when our heart is overwhelmed by the troubles and the trials and the worries of life, that there is a place in the Lord Jesus Christ and our great God, there is a place that is bigger than us. There is a rock that is bigger than our problems. You know, there's a place to go tonight that is bigger than you and bigger than your problems and bigger than your worries. Aren't you glad to know that there's something bigger than you in this world that has all the solutions for all of your problems? And you know that rock that's talking about that's higher than I know just about everybody here tonight has been to the mountains. And you go up in those mountains and you just get up there in those hills. I heard a man on the radio, one of the radio personality, says that he goes to the mountains every year because that's the place where he meets with God. I can understand that. He goes to a place that's higher and more majestic and gets above it all. Isn't it a wonderful blessing to know tonight that when the troubles and trials of life come your way, you can go to a place to get above it all? You and I can flee to that rock that is higher than I. Remember your rock tonight, child of God. That rock is Christ. He's the rock of our redemption. He's the rock of our refreshment and satisfaction. He's the rock of our rest. He's the rock that is bigger than our problems and bigger than our troubles. What a wonderful rock we have in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember a place over in Matthew where the Lord tells Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And of course we know that the Lord was talking about Peter there, building his rock on Peter, right? No. You know what the word Peter means? Peter, Cephas, means a stone. Peter means stone, but the Lord said, thou art Peter, stone, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What's the Lord saying there? Upon the rock of Himself. What does that mean to us tonight? I believe He was talking about the permanency of the foundation of the church, that it will be here, and it will be here until He comes back. And the gates of hell will not prevail and overthrow the Lord's church because it's built on the firm foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what you believe tonight is built on the foundation of the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. The worship that we've come here to offer up to the Lord is built on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That rock is Christ. He mentioned another place over a little ways back in Matthew chapter 7. He's giving a timely lesson where he says this. I'll be quick with this one and I'll close with one more. He's giving a timely lesson, child of God, that I believe we can all take home with us tonight and use it tomorrow. He says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. He's been teaching about a lot of things, the Sermon on the Mount. He's been doing some practical application and teaching. And he says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, because it was founded upon a rock. What's that rock? I believe that rock was and is Christ. I believe He's saying tonight to you and I, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and attendeth unto them, he will be like a man who builds his house, builds his life, builds his family, builds his career, builds everything that is in his life upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the rains come, if the floods come, no, the Bible doesn't say if you have trouble. Trouble's not an if in this life, is it? It's a when. When the floods came, when the rains descend, when the winds howl, that rock, or excuse me, that house will stand. Why? Because it's built on a rock. The flip side of that is true as well. There's another, the other man in this parable says that whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. I wonder if anybody here tonight can relate to these two people. I can relate to both of them. Because there are some times that I build on the rock, and there are some times that I build on the sand. What about you? Young people, listen to me tonight. It would behoove all of us, young, old, middle age, to build our lives on the rock. Because whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be like unto a foolish man which built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You know what our lives will turn into if we build upon shifting sands of this world? It will be a fall, and a big one, a great fall. God help us to build our lives upon the same permanency of the rock of Jesus Christ that He built His church. And God will be glorified for it, and we'll be blessed for it. I'll close tonight with this last story, last account over in Exodus chapter 33. Moses is speaking with the Lord, and he tells the Lord to, Lord, show me Your glory, and I'll be sufficed. Just show me Your glory. I want to see You. Do you ever feel that way sometimes, that you're so close to the Lord you just want to see Him? Or maybe that the troubles of life are so great that you just want to see Him face to face. Lord, just appear. The Lord said, no man has seen Me at any time and lived. Moses, I can't show you My face. He said, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll set you upon a rock, and I'll put you in the cliff of that rock, and I'll put My hand over it, and I'll pass by. And when I pass by, I'll remove My hand, and you'll be able to see My hinder parts or My back parts. You know, aren't you glad sometimes that the Lord don't give us what we ask for? If God had given Moses what he asked for that day, Moses wouldn't have lasted any more days. That would have been Moses' last day. Lord, show me Your glory. And God comes down and shows Moses His glory, and Moses dies right there. But He tells him this, I'll set you on a rock, and I'll pass by, and I'll remove My hand and let you see the hinder parts of My glory. You know what that rock is? Where do you go to see God? I don't mean with these natural eyes. Where do you go and see glimpses of God's glory? We go to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see as through a glass darkly, we see the glory of God revealed unto us in the person and work of our rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember your rock. Remember the rock that you've been redeemed by. Remember the rock that refreshes you and satisfies you, that shades you and shelters you. The rock that is above your problems and bigger than you. And the rock that we can go to see glimpses of God's grace and God's glory. May God bless you tonight is my prayer.